this, no matter who we listen to. It's all Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that. You know, it is just stunningly stupid. Here we sacrifice 7,000 American lives, making Iraq a worse place. Here we invade Iraq on a series of lies that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, that we need to go after him, that Saddam Hussein, if we don't go after him in Iraq, that he's going to attack America, that Saddam Hussein is harboring Al-Qaeda and we have to go after him because he's harboring Al-Qaeda. Every bit of that was a lie. Every bit of it. We sacrifice trillions of dollars. 7,000 American lives. And kill hundreds of thousands of Iraqis in the process. And after breaking the country, after making a bad situation much worse, now when the civil war is being fought there that we're responsible for. You've got the media still tripping over this stupid notion that it's Al-Qaeda-inspired militants. Good grief, how many people need to die? How many trillions of dollars need to be squandered? How much prestige needs to be disposed of and credibility before people finally wake up? There was no Al-Qaeda presence in Iraq. None. Al-Qaeda doesn't have a philosophy. They don't have an inspiration. They're Sunni Muslims. And because we don't understand this, is the reason that there's a civil war right now in Iraq. And America's responsible for it. We provided the weapons for the Shiites. We trained them. We equipped them. We armed them. And who are they loyal to? The mullahs in Iran. And by the same time, we provided the very weapons to the Sunnis that are being deployed against the Shia because of the Petraeus' brilliant idea of the awakening program. That took place during the surge, and they've given great credit for the great success of the surge, and all the time I'm saying, wait a minute, folks, all we are doing is arming the Sunnis so that they can keep the Shia at bay. This is going to turn into a civil war. And I said it that bluntly, over and over and over again, 4 and 5, 6 years ago. And even after all of those warnings, what do we have? The very civil war that I predicted, using the very weapons that were provided. But it's worse, because the ignoramuses that run the U.S. military, the ignoramuses that run the U.S. government, are incapable of ever thinking through the consequence of their actions. We enormously increased the caliber and quantity of weapons to the Sunni Mujahideen, to the Sunni jihadists fighting the proxy war against the Iranian Shias in Syria. America, at the urging of Senator John McClown of Arizona and Barack Hussein Obama, decided that the answer to the Syrian crisis was to supply much higher caliber weapons, surface-to-air missiles, anti-tank missiles, 50 caliber machine guns, anti-aircraft guns, rocket launchers. That we would supply those kind of weapons to the Sunnis fighting the Syrian government. And that, oh, of course, they'd just be freedom fighters. What happened to those weapons? Those weapons are now being deployed in Iraq. Those are the very weapons now that are being wielded against the Shiite forces in Iraq, and the Shiite forces in Iraq are no better than the Sunnis. As a matter of fact, the forces that America trained, they can't tear off their uniforms fast enough. You look at the pictures, there's mountains of American uniforms that were made for the Shiite army, and they're piling them up. As a matter of fact, over some of these cities now, the Sunnis are flying American helicopters, and they're parading around in American tanks.
You know what, Yada? I can hear the helicopters lifting off from the roof of that mega embassy complex in Saigon. I mean, Baghdad, now.
What are my goodness.
I sent that place on their way out just so that it doesn't fall into enemy hands?
Well, and who would we rescue there? I mean, the people that are in Baghdad now that are empowered are all Shia. And they're all Shias loyal to the mullahs in Tehran. They're our principal enemy in the world today. Who would you rescue? You know, you, in Vietnam, at least there were some really good people who were opposed to the communist takeover of their country that chose for foolish reasons to trust the United States. And we knew that if we did not get them out, Mick Kicklider was the three-star general that made that decision. In fact, he went to meet with Nixon at Annenberg's place in just outside of Palm Springs, providing Nixon with a report that says, if we do not provide an airlift for those that were loyal to America during the 10,000-day war, they will all be tortured and killed. And it was Nixon that gave the authorization based upon Kicklider's request. But in this particular case, we don't have any friends. Our friends hate us. I mean, the ones that allied with the United States, only allied with the United States because of all the weapons they received and all the money they received.
Well, it's even worse than Karzai in Afghanistan, because at least he can be considered the mayor of Kabul and control a few city blocks. This whole thing melting down and going away.
Oh, my God. They've taken over Anbar province, the Sunnis control. And the Nineveh, which is a different name, but the province of where Nineveh is in the north, is split now evenly between the Kurds, who America didn't want to give even anything to. In fact, the United States did everything we could to suppress the Kurds and to make sure the Kurds had no influence. The Kurds just wouldn't take it. And so the Kurds have their own personal estate there in the north, and they have their own military in the north. Right. So the Kurds have their own personal place up there in the north. And you can see the Sunnis are saying, hey, man, we don't want to have to mess with the Kurds. So they took over everything in the north and everything in the west, Anbar province, with exception of Baghdad. But now they've captured two towns, one within 80 miles, the other one with 20 miles of Baghdad. They're heading to Baghdad next. And what's going
to
happen?
Are you aware that the parliament has chosen not to convene because they can't get a quorum? I think they're all heading to exile. And we could see the Kurdish region become the de facto government supported area in Iraq. Or the Kurds want us to come in and drone bomb the rebels to try to protect their perimeter.
But this is the mess that is Iraq. The army of Iraq is disbanding. The army of Iraq, just as it did under Saddam Hussein, fled. Just as the army is melting away, there is no army presence. So you would assume that the Sunnis would be able just to plow into Baghdad with very little resistance, since they are not meeting the army that America spent hundreds of billions of dollars equipping. It's going away. In fact, all those weapons will fall into the hands of the Sunnis, but with one caveat. And there's one caveat, and the caveat's a big one. Sadr, who is the second highest-ranking Muslim cleric, the Ayatollah, junior Ayatollah there in Baghdad, had his own private army. He was like Hitler with the brown shirts, his Mahi Mujahideen. And they are armed to the gills. and they will give the Sunni militants a great battle if they're deployed to fight them. So this really could be murderous.
That could be the logical next step. But I'm wondering, if they pull out, I'm not kidding, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up sending in B-52s to bomb that Green Zone embassy complex, because that place, I don't know, that place is do they really want to let that fall into their hands?
Yeah, but think of this. The reason that this turned out to be such a mess is the United States of America went and broke the country and then armed both sides. We provide through the Awakening Program the weapons to the Sunnis, and we provided a whole arsenal of helicopters and tanks and armored personnel carriers to the Shia. And so we created the two sides that, and we thought that if we equipped both sides that they would, you know, mutual assured destruction, that they wouldn't fight in a civil war. Now we've got the civil war. You think that bombing them now is going to stop?
No, I'm not talking about bombing them. That Green Zone embassy complex has always been a huge joke. Embassy,
right.
My ear, that's a CIA military
headquarters. Yes, it is.
Maybe
we'll get lucky and they'll bomb it and take it out. I mean, the CIA is counterproductive to American interest. But you're right. At this point, they've asked America for more weapons, and America is saying, Susan Rice, what an idiot. She is saying, oh, we're going to supply them with more weapons. We're going to supply them with more training. You've given them billions of dollars worth of weapons. You've given them billions of dollars worth of training. And all of those weapons are being turned over to the Sunni Mujahideen. But the thing that really bothers me the most about this is we're labeling the government as good. That's the legitimate authority. And everyone wants to label the Mujahideen, the Sunnis, as al-Qaeda terrorists. The fact is, what you have here is the exact same thing you have in Syria. You've got Sunnis via Shia. And that's all you got here. And there's no one side's not better than the other. One side's not more terroristic than the other.
Right. And look how we've become codependent to the Shia-Sunni split. You know,
yes.
And you can't keep using the I word. You keep using the I word and the N word. You have to say Al-Qaeda. Got it.
Yeah. It's absolutely the case, isn't it, that America is arming those Sunnis, which we want to call al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria, and yet we're calling them al-Qaeda terrorists and want to kill them in Iraq. I would like Aaron to play a news clip. It's similar to so many I have heard in the last 24 hours over the civil war that is now erupting in Iraq. In this particular clip, what you're going to find is that no one has a clue how to stop this problem. And in fact, it can't be stopped. There's no amount of equipment. There's no amount of training. There's no amount of words. There is nothing that can resolve this, which is a total collapse of Iraq. And you would want, just for once, the United States to, and its military to say, we caused this. We broke this country. We're responsible. We're sorry. But no, you won't hear that in this clip. Aaron, could you please play it for us?
This is Iraq, 11 years after the U.S. invasion, 3 years after the U.S. withdrawal, and now in a state of crisis. After capturing Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, Islamic militants are boldly pushing on. Taking over Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit, the oil refining town of Baiji, and nearing the capital, Baghdad. Iraqi security forces, following years of training and billions of dollars in weaponry from the U.S., have melted away, leaving checkpoints unmanned and stripping themselves of their uniforms. Their American-supplied Humvees claim militant websites now in the hands of al-Qaeda-tied terrorists. Today, Iraq's foreign minister said his country's very survival is at stake.
I hope this incident really will lead all Iraqi leaders to come together to face this serious, mortal threat to the country.
U.S. officials say there are early signs of Iraqi Kurds coming together with government forces to respond to the attacks. And today, National Security Advisor Susan Rice said the U.S. will provide support under its strategic framework agreement with Iraq.
We must do more to strengthen our partners' capacity to defeat the terrorist threat on their home turf by providing them the necessary training, equipment, and support.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Baghdad Jim Jeffrey says Washington must urgently do more, including providing air support to attack the militants.
This is no longer a messy situation. This is a catastrophe for the people of Iraq, for American policy, and for the entire region. This is an extremely dangerous situation. It appears that no force can stop these people.
U.S. help for now has been limited to training and arms sales, including F-16 and Apache helicopters, both recently approved but not yet delivered, things that would certainly be very useful in pushing back ISIS advances. I asked the White House and the Pentagon today about how the U.S. will respond with the situation deteriorating rapidly. Here's what NSC spokesperson Bernadette Meehan told me. She said, we have expedited shipments of military equipment since the beginning of the year and expanded our training programs both inside Iraq and in Jordan. Speaking to officials, they say that they are now considering other options. They won't say what those options are, but you get a sense that they're watching the situation extremely closely. They're very concerned.
Wow. It's almost breathtaking, and yet Susan Rice bellowing out through the microphone says we have to do more. No. What we needed to do was less. We ought not have invaded Iraq. We ought not have overthrown Saddam Hussein. That was grotesquely inappropriate. It was counterproductive. It was immoral. Had we not invaded Iraq, this would not be happening today. But it is a blight on America. It is a complete reprimand against American foreign policy, against America's interventions in the world. We made a bad situation infinitely worse in Iraq, and no amount of additional weaponry or training or bombing is going to resolve the problem that was caused by American training, by American weaponry, and by American bombing.
Yes, but the arrogance of empires dies hard, and declining empires tend to thrash.
Yes, and we are America is a dying empire, and its arrogance is still manifest. Here is the National Security Advisor of the United States, rather than saying, we caused this, we're so sorry. It was our bombings and our invasion and our weapons and our training that caused this, and we are so very sorry. We wish there was something we could do to resolve the problem, but anything we do now will just make it worse. That would be the intelligent thing to say, the moral thing to say, the thing that we all could agree to and learn from. But she said exactly the opposite, that America needs to do more, that it needs to provide more equipment, more training. No, it's America's involvement that caused this situation. We need to pocket up our hubris. We need to disown our arrogance. We need to admit that we were wrong. Welcome back to Shattering This.
Yeah.
12 years. Let me just finish one thought.
Wait a minute. Take your time. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. 12 years ago, when I tried to stop George Bush from labeling al-Qaeda the enemy and from invading Iraq and Afghanistan. And 12 years ago, I knew the president. I had associates that were officers in his administration. And I couldn't. And what I did instead is I wrote two books, one immediately after 9/11, after meeting with al-Qaeda to find out why they bombed or suicide bombed America's buildings, the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, screaming Allahu Akbar. And as after writing the first book and then subsequently the second on Islam, I told everybody who would listen that this response was going to lead to exactly what we're witnessing today. I did it almost 3,000 times on talk radio programs across the country. So I'm not coming to you today and saying, all right, with hindsight, I recognize that what we did was counterproductive. Our bombings, our invasion, our weapons, our training caused not one civil war, but two. One in Iraq and one in Syria. And hundreds of thousands of people have died. I told everyone who would listen that this would be the case 12 and 13 years ago. And it's not because I'm a prophet, because I'm not. It's just that if you actually analyze the evidence and you draw reasonable conclusions from it, this was inevitable. Now, I don't have a trillion-dollar spy budget. And yet I was able to recognize that this would be the case and told everyone who would listen. There's something desperately wrong with the collective lack of intellect, the lack of judgment, the lack of morality at the highest levels of the U.S. government. And that problem is echoed in the media as well. After recognizing that George Bush lied when he justified invading Iraq because of al-Qaeda's presence there, even after we confiscated Osama bin Laden's correspondence and found that there was no association between the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria and Osama bin Laden, even after it's known for certain that they're just Sunni Muslims, the same Sunni Muslims that were arming in Syria that now we want to call terrorists in Iraq, and we want the Iranian government that we empowered in Iraq to take them out. That we can't see the stupidity in all of that. Even in the media, who shouldn't have a dog in this hunt, who ought to be above the political rhetoric. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay. Well, if they didn't listen to Shinseki, they certainly weren't going to listen.
You're breaking up. Your phone's not working.
Can you hear me now?
A little better. Okay, go ahead.
You should be able to hear. I say if they didn't listen to Shinseki, they certainly weren't going to listen to you.
That's true.
Okay. Did you notice the news report specifically mentioned F-16s?
Yes.
Now, they talk about your judgment. Okay, the F-16 Falcon, colloquially known as Lawn Dart because of its fly-by-wire predilection for implanting itself in the ground in its early years,
yes,
is a single-engine air superiority fighter that can carry comparatively little ordnance compared to an F-14, F-15, or an F-18.
Right.
That the ideal aircraft for this situation, if you're going to do an aircraft, is the A-10 Thunderbolt II, the Warthog. No, they're talking about mothballing that when they ought to be beefing that up. What they need is low, slow, loitering, attackable air support, you know, with the ability to carry ordnance and hit hard. But no, they want to send in this stupid airplane.
Yeah, well, beyond the fact that the decision on what aircraft to send in is an economic decision based upon the politics of Congress as to whose district the airplane is manufactured in and who gets jobs based upon the gift of those airplanes to a foreign government, which is the only thought process that any one of those guys ever engaged in.
Yeah.
You are, but it's beyond, I want to go beyond the fact, yes, that giving them an F-16 is a waste of time. We can't train them to fly them. We can't train them to maintain them. And they have no strategic purpose. But I'm here to tell you that if even we were to unmothball the A-10, that wouldn't do them any more good. When American pilots were flying A-10s over Afghanistan, we were as likely to kill our own troops with them as we were to kill those that we thought were the enemy.
No, I just use it as an illustration of poor judgment, as you always talk about. Even at this late date, they're still using pork barrel politics to make the decision.
Correct. Yeah, it's absolutely stupid. And then they're willing to say here that we ought to be arming and providing surface-to-air missiles to the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria, and yet we ought to be providing jets for them to shoot down in Iraq. mean, right. Think of that. The Stinger missiles that America is giving to the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria are the very Sunni Mujahideen that are now taking over Iraq. And we want to give Iraq's Shia F-16s. So I guess it's a perfect match. Well, if you give them the missiles, you give them the airplane, they can make a big explosion in the sky and squander a lot of American dollars.
Well, as you pointed out, in the long run, just through sheer numbers, the Sunnis will, you know,
right.
take the day. They will prevail.
They will prevail. The beyond the obvious that they outman Shia Muslims 4-1. They outgun them 10-1. If you look at the, and I decided that this, since Yanawa and Yashaya 17 tells us that the Syrian war will be the catalyst for the last battles that mankind will endure and will lead us right to the doorstep of the tribulation, and tells us the kind of ensuing terrorism the world's going to endure as a result of the Syrian war, it made sense to me to analyze why Yahweh said that the Sunnis were going to prevail when at this point in Syria, the Shias have prevailed. And so I did the math. They outman them 4-1. They outgun them 10-1. America is the primary weapons supplier. We are the merchant of death to the world. And if you total the military expenditures of the Sunni Islamic nations in the proximity to where these two civil wars are taking place versus the Shia, it's 10-1. There is no question that the Sunni are going to put now in Iraq. Two-thirds of the Muslims in Iraq are Shia, which is just so stupid that America couldn't count when we invaded Iraq and decided that we were going to give one person one vote, not recognizing if we do that, we're going to give Iraq to Iran, which is exactly what we did. Just no ability to think on America's political and military leadership. And
right.
Now that we are arming the Shia on one side in Iraq and the Sunni on the other side in Syria, and we can't even think it through that they are exactly the same, that there is no distinction between those that we're arming in Syria and those who are we're calling terrorists in Iraq. And there's no distinction between the government that we're calling villainous in Syria and the government we want to provide more weapons to. F-16s and Apache gunships too, in Iraq, when they're identical.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Americans try and reinforce the Kurdish boundaries as a fallback position right now, and wait to see what happens in Baghdad with this privatized army.
No chance of doing that. The reason there's no chance of doing that is America has always been opposed to the Kurds. And the reason America is opposed to the Kurds in Turkey is because of NATO, and the Turks hate the Kurds. In Iraq and in Iran, America has been universally opposed to the Kurds because the Saudi Arabians, the Kuwaitis, the Qataris, all are opposed to the Kurds. So we want to garner favor with those who will either sell us oil cheaply or who will buy our weapons. And
right.
The Kurds are the enemy of those who we want to buy oil from cheaply and we want to sell our weapons. So America has always been opposed to the Kurds. When the Kurds said, you know, the only solution in Iraq, once America went in and broke it, is to divide Iraq into three countries. And that was the only solution in Iraq, was divide it into three countries and say, even if it means that you need to move, you're going to have Kurds up in the north, you're going to have Sunnis in the west, and you're going to have Shias in the east, and three separate countries. And America was wholly and completely opposed to that. And that was the only solution. And the Kurds have taken it on their own.
But isn't that the bulk of the oil infrastructure in the north?
It is actually fairly well distributed, but there is a very significant amount of it in the north. And the Kurds have fought very hard to get their share of that oil revenue from the north. But, you know, it isn't just in the north. It's reasonably well distributed. But the Kurds have fought for their share of it because in Iraq today, just like almost all of these Islamic countries that are OPEC countries, somewhere in the range of 95 to 98% of the industry and funding for the country comes from the sale of oil. They're, you know, they don't make things there.
Right, right.
But you think, but you know, I want you to think of one thing here as it relates to Iraq. Had America not stepped up its supply of anti-tank weapons, anti-aircraft weapons, 50 caliber machine guns, the quantity and the caliber of the weapons that we were supplying the Sunni Muslims in Syria. Do you think that the Sunni Muslims in Iraq, who we'd only given AK-47s to previously, could have taken over the country and threatened Baghdad?
Not likely.
Not likely. Yeah, this was a miss. This civil, the scope and the suddenness and the of this civil war in Iraq is a direct result of this administration's, along with Senator John McClown's miscalculation in Syria. And the Syrian war is a part of our miscalculation of invading Iraq because we empowered Iran. So we're guilty of twice over making this problem, and three times over if you include breaking Iraq so that it would be susceptible to the civil war. Welcome back to Shattering This. I know that I take this to an extreme that many of you listening to this program may have difficulty with, which I say that the problem really, beyond the fact that we have no collective intelligence at the leadership level in politics, media, or in the military of the United States, no ability to exercise good judgment, that America's greatest liability beyond its incapacity to know and understand is the fact that we have an established military, that we are proving Jefferson right every day, that the greatest threat to a nation and to a nation's freedom is an established military. Had the U.S. military not existed, we would not have invaded Afghanistan and pushed the Taliban back into to Pakistan, where they are now engaged in a civil war there and will ultimately take control of that country, and they will possess nuclear weapons, which they'll use in the United States. Without our military, that would not have occurred. Without the U.S. military, we would not have invaded Iraq. We would not have started the civil war in Syria. We would not have started the civil war now in Iraq. But now that we have, think of the consequence. Think of what it has done to the region, how many people have died, and how ultimately it's going to play out when these great jihads are finally won by the Sunnis, and those Sunnis that fought it come back to their homes around the world. If you want to know how it's going to play out, just look at what happened after the great jihad in Afghanistan that America sponsored back in the Carter administration. And when that was over, the great terrorist acts that ripped through Europe, Africa, the United States, and Russia. Well, these jihads are much greater than the jihad in the backward realm of Afghanistan. And the consequence is going to be far more grievous. That's what's going to happen. It is inevitable.
Well, yes, and you know, there's another humanitarian crisis we've created. By destabilizing Libya and destroying its infrastructure, especially its amazing water project, we've created a steady flow of refugees from Libya to Italy.
Yes.
You know, the whole world's going to end up hating us because we're behaving like the beast in Daniel that stomps the residue and the nations rise not up again.
Yes, we are.
There's no Marshall Plan fixing these places we've conquered.
Correct. No, we are the beast that is trampling the world. If you don't see the United States in Daniel's prophecies, I think you're missing it. That's why, you know, America, why Yahweh goes to such length to condemn the United States and his prophecy about the demise of Syria and the ultimate sacrifice of Israel as a result of the demise of Syria and the terrorism that flows out of those events. And it's a specific, detailed condemnation of America's military might and its arrogance, specific to exactly what we're witnessing here. And look at the carnage. I mean, Boko Haram is their ability to kidnap hundreds of little girls and to burn thousands of people alive is to a large degree a direct result of the United States interfering in Libya and providing massive amounts of weapons, as is the carnage that is taking place in the Central African Republic, as is the carnage that's taking place in Mali. And look at what we've done to Egypt. All since this president went to Cairo and told Muslims that this was their time. Look at the carnage in Egypt. Look at the carnage in Syria.
Wait a minute.
In Iraq.
Democracy prevails in Egypt, doesn't it?
Oh,
they just had a great
moment.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, where no one participated. You have control of everything. You can't even get people to vote. Women are then, when you have your celebratory event, countless women are raped, and you do nothing about it. Where
well,
if anybody is opposed to you, you incarcerate them, you rob them, and then you threaten to kill them. It's lovely. We should be so proud.
At least the masses were smart enough to be cynical and boycott it.
The, you know, 70% of the Egyptians boycotted the last election. It was a complete and utter farce. Even during the time of Mao Zedong and Stalin, they conducted far more credible elections than what we just witnessed in Egypt. And the truth about the Egyptian thing is that the United States knew Sisi was going to do. We knew because the plan that he implemented was the basis of his thesis at the U.S. War College. Exactly what he has done. The way that he has gone about doing it was the thesis that he wrote when he attended the U.S. War College. Congratulations, America. What a fine mess you've made.